Welcome, welcome, welcome. As promised on the Films of the Year podcast, I'm going to quickly run through my TV shows of the year. If you've not listened to the Films of the Year episode yet, go and listen to that. That's the main one. I'm literally going to dart through these really quickly. So that's the main one. Go back and listen to that. But yeah, let's drop the theme tune, buddy piece, and get into my TV shows of the year. Because again, the reason I've done this is it was a year for TV, man. We lost our cinemas and we lost a lot of films and we gained a lot of time at home. So yeah, let's drop that theme. Right, as said, this is going to be a mini episode and I'm really conscious. I'm worried I'm going to go through too fast, but also I know that I ramble on. So I think if I take my time at all, we could be in trouble. These aren't in any order. The same with the films of the year. They aren't in any order, but I would say the first three are probably... No, there's three, four, five... No, there's loads. They're really good. But the first two then... are my actual TV shows of the year. And the first one, probably my show of the year, is Babylon Berlin. My God, it's amazing. I'm running out of battery, actually. This might end. It's a German show where I've been in North America. It's on Netflix out here. In the UK, I believe it's on like Sky Box Sets or Sky Atlantic or something, maybe on Now TV. But it's amazing. It's one of the best bits of... It's taken from books, some like award, like legendary books, but it's all set... It's set in between the two world wars, and it's set in a police department, essentially. And the two lead characters are two of the best characters I've ever seen. Their performances, the writing is amazing, the twists and turns, the nods to classics cinema that are throughout are amazing. The nods to obviously points in history. It's really good. It's, yeah, I just can't recommend enough. There's not that much to tell you. It makes me think of The Wire in that you're like, it's just about the kind of police and the criminals, but it's really good. Like, I can't tell you much more than that, but it's amazing. Yeah, I recommend it highly. The other one that I would say, I said, are my top two is I May Destroy You. Wow. Michaela Cole has been on here twice, and at those points I've been saying that she's a fucking icon and the future of the creative arts, and I May Destroy You just firm that up more and more. It was so beautifully written and so intricate and so... tackling such complex subjects head on and aggressively in places. It's essentially about consent, but it kind of weaves three or four different stories of consent. Not like they're different, like all the same group of friends, and there's the lead story continues throughout, but different variations and different judgments and calls, and it does it somehow without seeming preachy or accusatory or attacking, but also without pulling any punches. It's fucking amazing. Yeah, it's great. So they're my main two. Before I go on to all the rest, I want to quickly say the thing that I've watched the most this year is David Earl's Twitch channel. I think I've genuinely watched more of that than I have Netflix. I started off, David Earl, I've known him for years. I was a fan of a character he does called Brian Gittins and a character he does called Cumbo. So when he started doing them on Twitch, I was like, I'll give that a look. He had Cumbo playing Sims and Brian Gittins playing Resident Evil. And he'd do them as series. So it's a continuing story. He'll go on for an hour every day or a couple of hours. And they remain on there. Then, just as David Earl, he started playing FIFA as the manager of Crawley Town. He's got these characters in there. There's a family called the Tucker Smiths. So he creates a manager called Gary Tucker Smith, and then he plays that. And honestly, the drama, I joke with him about it, because you couldn't write it. Like, the end of his League One season and his Championship season end with more drama than any TV show I've seen this year. And he couldn't, like, it's not planned. He's playing a computer game. So, yeah, I wanted to give a shout out to that, because you can literally go and start all those journeys, I believe, on his Twitch channel. It's like David Earl. It's twitch.com/David or twitch.tv/David Earl, I think. And he's got them on there as little, like, you can choose them and go and start at the beginning. But I recommend them. I think they're amazing. And also, if you're watching live, I'm often in the chat there. I watch every episode of the Crawley Town journey. He's just started regular sumo wrestling watching episodes. So, yeah, I'm regularly about as well. So you can come. And the community there is amazing. I'm genuinely a big fan of Flossie, of Arseface, of all the people, Buller J, of all the people in the chat box that are watching live, and I get to see him interact with. Anyway, back to the TV shows. Next up is Ted Lasso. I was so pleased to see this get all the love it deserved. I tuned in because my mate Brett Goldstein's in it, and often you'll tune into stuff that your mates are in, aware that it might be a bit shit. And this was a comedy TV show about football in England, about an American guy, Andy Sudeikis, Jason Sudeikis, I don't know how to say his name, coming and becoming the manager of an English football team. And I thought, if Dream Team is anything to go by, this ain't going to be great. There's probably a reason there's not been another football show since Dream Team. So I went in excited to see my friend, but ready to be polite about it. And it was it was an absolute joy. I think the timing worked as well, because it was a genuinely just lovely and positive film during a pandemic. When everyone needed a bit of positivity. But it was great to see it come out and then gradually build and build and build. And then in America, like, James Gunn tweeting about it and everyone just going crazy about this adorable football show. So, yeah, that's there. Next up is Mystic Quest Raven's Banquet on Apple TV. So they're both of these actually are on Apple TV. And Mystic Quest, I was watching it because I was meant to be having Rob from Always Sunny on my podcast to talk about this before.
Hey, hello, Distraction Pieces listeners. This is producer Buddy Peace, just checking in. This is an invite from Pip to check in. I'm not just taking liberties with my editing time and installing myself on a podcast without any permission. I would never dream of doing that. That would be outrageous. And you'd have every right to complain and make some noise about it. But yeah, as promised at the start of the episode, Pip's recorder did indeed run out of batteries, as he will come in and say in a sec. But what Pip did mention to me is that I could come in and, you know, mention that, and you'll hear that. But also, just to wish you all the very best in all the powers I have for the forthcoming year. Who knows what it holds, but as I've been sort of saying towards the end of last year, I feel like we've got something of a suit of armour, be it, you know, a bit tired and weary at the moment. But I feel like whatever comes this year, we're in a pretty decent position to withstand and endure, and, you know, whatever other words to describe what we have to go through this year. But yeah, anyway, there is positivity and hope ahead. I know it, and I'm confident of it, and I wish you all the best for it and all the best of luck. And I hope last year didn't, you know, hit you too hard. And let's soldier forth, and you can count on the Distraction Pieces podcast for continued goodness, because there is some amazing stuff ahead, let me assure you. Anyway, the point of this was to just tell you that Pip's batteries run out and he came home and continued at home from the comfort of his own house. That was it. And at risk of extending this podcast any longer, bests from me, and we'll probably speak soon. But in the meantime, let me hand you back to Scroobius Pip.
Okay, hi guys. As I predicted, I mentioned that my battery was low. It ran out. So I'm now back in my Airbnb, and I will quickly run through the rest of this list. As I was mentioning, Mythic Quest on Apple TV, I loved it. It's a game developing company. They've made a game called Mythic Quest that's kind of a World of Warcraft, and they're going through the bugs and living it all out. It's amazing. Every character, genuinely, I fell in love with and found hilarious. So, fantastic. Speaking of developments and sci-fi type computery stuff, Devs was next up. What a beautiful TV series. It's futuristic. It's very high concept. It's again about a development company, but it's not a comedy, and it's looking at some real big quandaries in the future of what we can do. I won't say too much. It's mind-blowing. It rightfully got raved about, but I felt it got overlooked a little bit. It's kind of sci-fi, but again, it's more dealing with huge concepts. It's great. Next up is Industry. Industry blew me away. That was one of the ones that maybe might be, it would be right up there as my favourites. I watched it right at the end of the year. I think I watched it mainly on Christmas Day, the bulk of it, on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day maybe, or Boxing Day. I expected to maybe not like it. I'd heard about it in advance. A pal of mine, Ed Lilly, was one of the directors, and we caught up for a coffee a little bit before he started on this. He was just considering accepting it, or had just accepted it. And it's set in London, and it's all about the people in the financial industry and stocks and that kind of thing. And they're the kind of people that I generally can't stand. But the story, it's from Elena Dunham. The story, and most importantly, the characters and performances, they're just amazing. It's really good. It feels like, I heard that was the show, and I wasn't expecting it to feel like Skins or Atlanta or one of these genuinely energetic and young feeling pieces. All of the lead performances, there's kind of, I guess, four lead performances as the young kind of interns, maybe five, I guess, six. There's a load, but kind of the main, yeah, I guess the main four, they're just such star-making performances, man. All of them are just going to be absolute superstars in the future. Yeah, I was genuinely, considering they're all characters that probably in real life I would absolutely despise, I loved all of them. And big shout out to Harry Lawty, who I had a Boxing Day Zoom call with my family, and me and my uncle were talking about, oh, what shows have you watched? And he mentioned Industry. I was like, yeah, I loved it. And he was like, that young blonde lad, he was amazing. And weirdly, the day before, Harry, I agreed with him, but weirdly the day before, or maybe that day, because I posted it on Boxing Day, yeah, that day Harry had reached out to say, I'm a fan of the podcast, and he came and got a pod Bible off me at King's Cross Station on his way to go and film Industry. So, mad. But yeah, absolutely fantastic show, and it's on a BBC iPlayer. And then next up, Queen's Gambit. I don't need to say much about this. Everyone raved about it. The performances are beautiful. The direction is beautiful. The story is beautiful. It's on Netflix. Who knew that you'd be enjoying a show about chess so much this year? I feel like I'm spending half the podcast saying, as mentioned, this is going to be a mini one. I'm going to shoot through them. But yeah, Queen's Gambit is just, it felt flawless. Next up is Small Axe on BBC iPlayer or Amazon in America. Now, this is a tough one because it's technically five films, but they're a series, and they're all from Steve McQueen, and they're all true stories of different events in kind of, I think, between the 60s and I guess the 80s, early 90s, in black communities in the UK. The casts are absolutely amazing. The stories are amazing. The direction is amazing. It all just felt so vital. Absolutely amazing. So there's five of them. The reason they're short films rather than a series, I think, is because they're standalone stories, and they just, they're as long as they need to be. Like, one of them's 2 hours, one's like 45 minutes. But yeah, they're fantastic. Next up, The Boys, series two. A lot of you know I love The Boys. The Boys is my favourite comic book. I had Garth Ennis, the creator, on the podcast a good few years back. It was my favourite comic book, and then the series came along and they knocked it out of the park, and series two went up a notch. The performance from Anthony Starr as Homelander is just, it's mind-blowing. Next up is The Mandalorian. I thought everyone adored this, and then I saw one person I follow who wasn't a fan, but I just think it's been great. I think series two is great. I think they're just, you know, it is what it is. It's a nostalgia fest. It's these big, dramatic, standalone episodes with the through line essentially being Baby Yoda. But Series 2 brought in some amazing people and had some amazing moments that, if you're a Star Wars fan, you're like, like real gasp, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. So yeah, The Mandalorian had to be in there. And man, some of the spin-offs that are to come, as I touched upon in the films of the year. Incredibly exciting. Next up is No More Jockeys. Now, this is the other one that I was saying, like, if I was going to have a top five of this list, it would be Babylon Berlin, I May Destroy You, Ted Lasso, Industry, and No More Jockeys. It's a YouTube series shot on Zoom. It's Alex Horn, Mark Watson, and Tim Key playing a game that they made up, and it comes out every Friday, and it gives me so much joy I can't even begin to speak and tell you. In fact, I'm recording this, as I said, on New Year's Day. That's a Friday. I've not watched the New Year's Day No More Jockeys yet. So one of the reasons I'm flying through this is I'm now back at my Airbnb. I'm no longer in the woods. So I want to watch the latest episode. It's on YouTube. It's free. It's just three mates playing a silly game, but there's sets, and it's an ongoing score, and it's amazing. So go and start it at the beginning and absolutely adore it. Next up is Breeders. Binged all of this in like 2 days and absolutely adored it. I know there's a series two on the way. Yeah, I don't know what else to really tell you about that, other than it's fantastic. It's about two parents, but it's very modern feeling. It's very honest feeling. They're quite sweary and irreverent, and I don't know, it just, I loved it. I think I've had a few people I've recommended it to who found it a bit too sweary and a little bit offensive, but yeah, I loved it. In fact, I'm now wondering, I'm panicking that it was last year. I'm sure it was this year, but because I had Daisy Haggard on at the end of last year, who's in it, this might be a disqualification there. I'm pretty sure it was this year, but if not, I apologise. It's amazing. Go and watch it. Next up is Raised by Wolves, and this is something that I was excited that as soon as I was getting back into North America, it was going to be on, because I knew it wasn't going to be in the UK for a bit. It's now been on in the UK. That's why it qualifies. I've disqualified a few shows that have only been on over here, because this is largely a British podcast. So The Good Lord Bird may have made it in my list. There was another one. I can't think. But anyway, Raised by Wolves is Ridley Scott. It's Travis, your boy from Vikings. It's Niamh Algar again, who featured prominently in the Films of the Year list. And it's amazing. It's this mad sci-fi. It's Ridley Scott back doing sci-fi. Or not back, but doing a sci-fi series. And I loved it. It looks beautiful. The world they build is beautiful. The mullets are super beautiful. Yeah. It's great. Next up, we've got three left. Next up is Gangs of London. I loved it. I raved about it when it came out. And I had like two people say, "You've been paid to do this. It's fucking shit." And I couldn't disagree more. It's Corin Hardy. It's Gareth Evans, who made The Raid. It's so many amazing people. It's Patricia Adu, previous guest. It's Joe Cole, previous guest. So I loved it. It's this huge action series set in London. And London is... London, for some reason, has never been the hub of action like LA has and San Francisco has and New York has. But it should be. And Gangs of London feels like it could go on to be just huge. Just the stories that they can tell. They ended in a big way that I didn't expect. So I don't know where that's going to go. But just as a concept, it feels like there's so much to do. Anyway, almost over, guys. Two more. Hunters on Amazon Prime. Absolutely loved it. Al Pacino essentially putting together a team of Nazi hunters a while after the war. Mainly a Jewish team of Nazi hunters. And they're basically finding all the people. Because obviously it's known that a lot of Nazis changed their identity. Or were given no identities after World War II. So this is this mad kind of comic book story of a load of Nazi hunters. And yeah, it's as awesome as it sounds. And finally, to round up the 16 is Feel Good. Mae Martin, previous podcast guest. I adored this show. I thought it was beautiful. It was heartwarming. It's on Channel 4. And then it went on to Netflix, didn't it, I think? And then everyone went, "Oh my God, this is amazing." As often happens, things come out in their original place. People are like, "Oh, that's cool." Then it appears on Netflix and everyone goes, "This is the best." And they're completely right. It's amazing. So that I said, I know this is short. This is just a little bonus. I wasn't going to do it. But a few people after I did that post said, "I'd like to hear you talk about them a little bit." So yeah, go and listen. If you've not listened to the Films of the Year podcast, I'm disgusted in you because that's the main one. I almost didn't do this because I didn't want to detract from the Films of the Year. But there we go. Here it is. I've got some amazing guests coming up of this year. I've recorded all of January's episode, I think, and adored them all. So, yeah, you've got some treats. I'm not going to tell you too much, but they're wonderful. All right. I will. Happy New Year again. I mean, this is like the second episode of the year now and at the end, so I've probably said that a million times and not realised. But, yeah, hope you're well and I hope you enjoy. Come and tell me about any of these, the films of the year that you enjoy or the TV shows of the year that you enjoy, and tell me about ones that I might enjoy. The annoying thing on the film, no, I'm not going to go into it. A lot of you will know the annoying things on the Films of the Year one is that people see the 16 and then tell me, "Oh, you should have seen this," when I did see it, but it didn't make my list. So I post the whole list as well. So it gets, anyway, it annoys me. I'm being picky and moody. I'm going to go and watch No More Jockeys and then finish off yesterday's David Earl Twitch stream. All right, guys. Thank you very much. You're all beautiful. And I will see you soon. Ta-ta.
You've been listening to Scroobius Pip's Distraction Pieces.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.